Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode of Living Light Outdoors. On the mic with you, it's Monday. I hope you've had a good one. We are rocking right on into this week. Kind of watching the weather here in Oklahoma tonight. Kind of throwing some serious accusations at some possibilities of some whirlwinds and high winds and hails and that kind of thing. So we'll keep our eye out on it. Not too concerned at this point. I want to share with you a message. I started on wondering Pastor Andrew's sermon yesterday. Just took a few notes on what he was saying. It was very good. We'll probably bring something out of what he said in kind of a different angle, different twist. But in studying some things, I was looking for some scripture to put on my Facebook storyline this morning. I try to do that every now and again, and I came across some scripture that I intended to post, and I thought, "Dadgum, that's good." And I kept digging, and I kept digging, and I kept writing, and I kept digging, till I wound up with a message, and I thought, well, I'm just going to share it with you today. We've been talking a lot about spiritual warfare. We've spent the last several recordings on spiritual warfare. Even our Saturday night story time with Buster has leaning into spiritual warfare with some of Frank Peretti's writings and this present darkness, and it's going to kind of introduce us to an interesting way to see the spiritual warfare that goes on around us all the time. And in the process of all that, as I came across this passage of scripture today, I want to share with you Peter's wise counsel. That's what I titled this, Peter's wise counsel. Now, I love Peter. Peter is a knucklehead. He is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. So much is written concerning Peter. Jesus, he's kind of worked that boy over a few times. And I can relate to Peter with that knucklehead syndrome. And it just seems like he's got some great wisdom, especially in 1 Peter chapter 5. And that's where we're going to go today. 1 Peter chapter 5, it actually begins by giving instruction to the leaders, to the pastors, to the teachers. He is exhorting them to lead well. His reference is calling out the elders. Now, an elder is not necessarily an older person, but one who is aged spiritually, matured in the fire of life's trials. So as he continues, he adds basically into the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. So let's catch it up. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Therefore," I love that word, "because of this, I strongly urge the elders among you, the pastors, the spiritual leaders of the church, as a fellow elder, spiritually seasoned," he's calling himself spiritually seasoned here, "as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd and guide and protect the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, not because that's your job, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not motivated for shameful gain, but with wholehearted enthusiasm, not lording it over those assigned to your care. Do not be arrogant or overbearing, but be examples of Christian living to the flock and set a pattern of integrity for your congregation. And when the chief shepherd Christ appears, you will receive the conqueror's unfading crown of glory." So he's kind of marking this right off the bat, kind of putting it towards our teachers, our pastors, our spiritual leaders in the church, and really giving some really great insight and wisdom as to how they should lead. Don't do it because you're supposed to. Don't do it because that's your job. Do it voluntarily. Don't do it for shameful gain. Don't do it just for the paycheck, but with wholehearted enthusiasm. Don't be prideful. Don't lord it over anybody, not anyone that's assigned to your care. Don't be arrogant. Don't be overbearing. But be examples of Christian living in the flock. Set a pattern of integrity for your congregation. And this is what it says, "And when the chief shepherd," when Jesus appears, "you will receive the conqueror's unfading crown of glory." So Peter's writing this chapter that begins with "therefore," because of this. Peter uses a lot of "therefores" in his writings. So as he reminds us, we should be considering the things that he is saying. What happened before? So jumping back to the previous chapter to see what it's talking about sharing in the suffering of Christ, meaning we will likely suffer persecution due to our relationship with Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4, backing up a chapter, a page, First Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved," he's talking to us here, "beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you." That is, to test the quality of your faith, as though something strange or unusual were happening to you. Don't be surprised when life's trials and things come against you to test you, to test your faith, to test the quality of your faith. Don't find it strange or unusual with what's happening. We should understand as we pursue our relationship with Christ that we're going to, in fact, face trials and hardships just as he did and just as his followers as well. Now, then in chapter 5, Peter begins to challenge us as followers to serve Jesus willingly. So his teaching, beginning with the pastors, teachers, and the leaders, is mentioned in verses 1 through 4. And now the rest of us, he begins to speak to us here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Going through verse 10, it says, "Likewise," so we've already talked about the exhortation to the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the leaders, "but likewise, you younger men of lesser rank and experience, be subject to your elders, seek their counsel, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Tie on the servant's apron, for God is opposed to the proud, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and he defeats them, and he gives grace to the humble." Verse 6 begins with another "therefore." "Because of this, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Set aside self-righteous pride, so that he may exalt you to a place of honor in his service at the appropriate time, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you with deepest affection, and he watches over you carefully." Verse 8 goes on to say, "Be sober, be well-balanced and self-disciplined, be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, be firm in your faith against his attack, rooted, established, and immovable." Now, I like that. It's not, you just can't resist the devil. You've got to have something to resist him with, and that's being firm in your faith. Stand rooted and established in the Word of God and in your faith that you have in Jesus Christ. Immovable. That's what will resist the enemy. Knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being experienced by your brothers and sisters throughout the world, you do not suffer alone. Don't let him get you isolated. You're not the only one going through these battles. You're not the only one being attacked in the way that you are. Verse 10 says, "After you have suffered for a little while," man, I love this, "the God of all grace, who imparts his blessing and favor, who called you to his own eternal glory in Christ, will himself complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you, making you what you ought to be." God's got a plan. So even after we have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, this God who imparts his favor and his blessing over us, who called us to be his own, called us into eternal glory in Christ, will himself, he'll complete us, he'll confirm us, he'll strengthen us, and he'll establish us, making us what we're supposed to be. Peter makes it clear, as followers of Christ, we will have to endure some difficult times of various conditions. His instructions: to cast all our cares and anxieties on the Lord. And Jesus also invited us to cast our cares on him. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Jesus calls us to come to him, to cast our cares, our burdens, our anxieties, our fears, our I don't know what to do next on him. And when we do, he promises us that we will find rest for our souls. The assurance is based on who he is as our Lord and Savior. We can come to him with any of our concerns in prayer. And while the burdens may still exist, while we may still be under the load that we're having to carry, our soul will find rest as we trust in him, as he helps to carry it and to sustain us even through the midst of the trial. Peter's exhortation to humble ourselves and cast all our cares on the Lord That's a command, not a suggestion. We are commanded to trust the Lord and not ourselves. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in, rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize Him, and He will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way." Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 talks about not being anxious for anything. Don't be anxious for anything. It says, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, is yours. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. That peace, the peace that transcends everything we'll ever understand on this earth, the peace that rescues our heart, the peace which stands guard over us in Christ Jesus, that peace is ours. God does not want us to be weighed down by the difficulties and worries of this life. Now, it's a very difficult thing to do, for me even. I struggle being weighed down by the difficulties and the worries and the what-ifs and the what-if-nots and what am I going to do's and how am I going to handle this or what do I do from here's. God doesn't want us being weighed down by that. The enemy will use that and he'll bog us down every chance he gets. He cares for us. He promises rest for all of us who will come to Him. If you trust that God is in control and able to handle all of your concerns, cast all your cares on Him, regularly giving Him your concerns in prayer and living in the rest that He gives. Remember 1 Peter 4, where Peter's telling us that we will share in the sufferings of Christ? What it said in 1 Peter 4:12 that I read, "Beloved, do not be surprised by the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test you, that is to test the quality of your faith, as though something strange or unusual were happening to you." In other words, he's saying, listen, man, it isn't strange or unusual. Remember that stuff, that fiery ordeal that's taking place, it's to test you. Check out what he says in his thoughts as he closes this on our behalf in verses 13 through 14. Same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13 through 14, it says, "But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, keep on rejoicing, so that when His glory, filled with His radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may rejoice with great joy." Verse 14 says, "If you are insulted and reviled for bearing the name of Christ, you are blessed. You are happy with joy and comfort in God's salvation, regardless of your circumstances, because the Spirit of glory and of God is resting on you and indwelling you. He whom they curse, you glorify." No matter what we're going through, no matter the challenges that we face, and listen, I'm preaching to the choir here today. I need this message. I need this passage of Scripture. I need this word. This stuff is pinned right to my refrigerator door. I've got to remind myself of this constantly because I carry too much of this myself. And I know that many of us do. But God is telling us, if we'll just let Him have it, we can walk in His peace. We can walk in His joy. Here's what I want to do tonight. I just want to pray over us. Holy Spirit, we yield to You in this war that we fight on this earth. Father, we ask that You have Your way in Your humble servants and bring glory to Your Father in all things. God, these anxieties, these struggles, these challenges, these weights that weigh us down, the burdens of life that we handle, that we carry around, sometimes in a sack, sometimes with our hands full, just things we don't know that we can let go of. God, I pray that You will give us an understanding that when we lay our burdens at Your feet, that You break those chains that have us bound around those burdens. God, You'll care for us. Your word says that You won't even let a sparrow go hungry. If You wouldn't let a sparrow go hungry, how much more will You provide for us, Your servants? God, tonight I ask that You loose Your Holy Spirit's peace, comfort over all who are carrying too many burdens, all who are worried and weighed down by the things of this life. And God, they find peace and joy in you this night, rest for their weary soul. God, we may still have to deal with the burden, but Lord, let us look to you for our solutions. Let us look to you for our way of escape, the way of breaking the chains, the way of providing what is needed to solve whatever issue we may have in this life today. God, please let your Holy Spirit minister to your people tonight, all who are weary and heavy laden, that they take your yoke upon you this evening, knowing, Father, that you have rest for their weary souls. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Know that we're praying for you. Listen, you're not alone in this battle that we face. You're not alone in the war. You're not alone in the fight. The Bible, we talk about the armor of God, that we're to stand back to back. We're to have each other's back. We're to care for each other. We're to watch over each other. We're to fight for each other. Do so tonight. Pray for someone else that you know has a need tonight. Ask God to do exactly what I just asked him to do over you. Share this message with him if need be. But speak life to those around you. And know that God hears your cry. If you've asked him for something, ask him again. And then ask him again. And then ask him again. Keep asking until the door opens. Keep asking until the provision comes. Keep asking. Be thankful for all things that God gives us. Being very humble in thankfulness to him. But just keep asking. And he will answer. In his time, his way, your burden will be met. Your anxiety will be calmed. Your fears resolved, and peace like a river will flow over you. That's what we're praying over you tonight. God bless you. Thank you so much for following along on our podcast. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your prayers. All of our giving links are available on our website, www.livingloudoutdoors.com, pinned right to the top of our Facebook page. Support us if you can. Pray for us, please, as we continue to seek out that which is lost so that they may be found. God bless you. We love you. We'll talk to you again real soon.